positive, but I don't know if I've ever rerouted that part in all of the flights that I've taken to go Gulf of Mexico style.
I will say, Adam, if we take a map, you know, there's some that allege the world is round, but if you take that, if you take that map of what the circle should be and you just flatten that out, what if you had a direct straight line from Charlotte to Dallas? It just looked like you were going curved because you're under the assumption that the earth is round.
Rob, I love it when you're on point early.
Because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right. It feels right. Legendary. Look how we made it this far.
Adam, when people say we can't do this every week, they're wrong. We just make it happen. We make time. And I love how you're saying, do I look good? How do I look? Do I look nice? You look fantastic. You look fantastic.
It's that hotel room light. You never exactly know. You know what I'm saying?
Honestly, I don't think there hasn't been a time when I've seen you and been like, oh man, he just doesn't look good. You always look good. It's just levels and varying degrees of good.
Yes. So, I appreciate that, Robert. Are you in Florida?
I am in Florida, yep.
Okay, so you're home.
I'm home.
I saw you on the socials, Robert. You went to a little Georgia game, didn't you?
I sure did. Yeah. Yeah, it was fun. Yeah, Mon and I went to the Georgia-Florida game. Some people say the Florida-Georgia game. It's not. It's the Georgia-Florida game. But had a blast. We went to a little tailgate. This is the first time I've been to a college football game in a minute. And Jacksonville is always pretty wild. There's a lot of videos out there of just, I don't know if you've seen it, like police just throwing haymakers in the crowd against like fans and stuff. Like there's a lot of controversy actually. Like the mayor had to put out a statement it's some gnarly stuff. And I think the police officers are suspended at this point, but like it's wild videos. Like just guys just like policemen just punching people. So, always a good time.
The football fights, for some reason, show up on my feed. Like, the NFL fights, and I know the SEC is, you know, a similar situation. So, I mean, you got to keep those people in line, Rob. If you got to deck them, you got to do your thing. As a police officer, you got to do it.
Adam, when you start drinking at 7 a.m. and you don't lay off until the game starts, and you're playing in a stadium that sells a lot of alcohol, things are going to happen.
Things are going to happen. So the old 7 a.m. start. Can't say I've done that in a while or ever. But that's a full day.
That's what these people do at these tailgates. I mean, they start at like breakfast and they don't stop.
Then game time comes.
And like I saw another fan mooning, like a Florida fan mooning a Georgia fan. And then, like, slap his ass and then try to give the guy a high five. There's weird stuff going on out there.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the thing is, like I said, you need, like, right around noon, just throw in, like, 3 pounds of ribs or three pounds of brisket. You know, like,
and
sometimes.
Have a Coke Zero. Have a Coke Zero.
Yeah, because sometimes when you start at 7 a.m. you forget to eat, and that is the worst thing possible.
That is absolutely correct. Ratio of food to alcohol has to be on point. And if it's not, you're in trouble.
You are in trouble. Well, Robert, I am in Dallas. I'm doing a little commentary for the Worlds this week. And I had a big struggle last night. So the old thunderstorms wreaked some havoc. So I was in Charlotte, and we had to dip down and fly across the Gulf of Mexico.
Stop it.
Yes, across the Gulf of Mexico and then come back up through Houston straight up to Dallas because of the thunderstorm situation. So
it's a wild route.
It is a wild route. I mean, I guess I mean, I made it here last night, so that is a positive. But I don't know if I've ever rerouted that hard in all of the flights that I've taken to go Gulf of Mexico style. But here we are.
I will say, Adam, if we take a map, you know, there's some that allege the world is round, but if you take that, if you take that map of what the circle should be, and you just flatten that out. What if you had a direct straight line from Charlotte to Dallas? It just looked like you were going curved because you were under the assumption that the earth is round.
I just love this. I love it when you're on point early.
Guys, just to be clear, I do not think the earth is flat. I just thought it would be a fun. It would be fun to get Adam's reaction, and he was a little stunned.
I was shocked and awed. You just had when you flattened it down on the table, you got me there. You got me.
Well, Adam, we're not here for a long time today. We're here for a good time. We have a little bit of more of a compact episode. MLP playoffs just happened. What I do, I'll say right out of the gate, what I do love about it is the 2 out of 3 aspect. Man, it's so much. It feels like it builds tension more. Like you have something to look forward to the next day, knowing that somebody's down 0-1. I love the 2 out of 3. I think maybe it would be cool in the regular season too. I don't know, but I love 2 out of 3.
I'm completely with you. I think to see some of the strategy changes and the mixing and matching, and a couple teams that, you know, were not favored on paper snuck out that first one and put some real palpable pressure on their opponents, and you can see it in the play. I always like seeing tightness in the play, whatever that may be. I like to see the different players default when they go tight. Some players speed up every single ball. Some players are terrified to do anything and are just, you know, like bunting third shots in midcourt play and dinks back into play. So when you see that real tightness, that is something that I really enjoy. And I agree completely. The 2 out of 3 series made it much more dynamic. And let's just be clear, MLP has had some hits and misses in terms of crowd involvement and how intense the atmosphere was. This was a good one, and I just wish we could have that intensity every time.
I don't know if you know this, but I haven't checked a bag since probably 2005. So I'm going on 20 years of no check bags. I only carry on, and what's made that really easy for me over the past couple years are Selkirk backpacks. Because little do people know, you get a personal item and a carry-on on most carriers, and both items are big backpacks. I carry them on, I fill both of them to the brim, and they both count as carry-on. So I don't have to check a bag. It's important.
No, I'm right there with you. And that's the big boy, and I am past my playing days. So I do one big boy and one little smaller fella here that I can take with me from the hotel to the venue every single day. Leave the big boy there. Don't check bags. Get yourself some Selkirk gear. Small, medium, big. You need it.
I don't have the small. I need the small. Somebody send me the small. But yeah, you're right, because I can put my little laptop and I don't have to take the big one. It's important. Selkirk, send me a small. I'll buy it.
What's that? Was that James Ignatowicz calling you? Oh, that's funny.
Should I? Let's do this real quick. What, hold on.
I mean, just do it. Just do it.
James, just to be clear, you're on the podcast right now. Because Adam and I are recording, and we're still recording, and now you're on the podcast. Say hello, world. Oh, you're going Ant Pro? Wow, that's a good plug. This was not scripted. That was a great plug, James. You're on speaker. Yes, the podcast can hear you. You're going Ant Pro. You heard it here first.
Which is between me and you. I was being.
look. Were you just not? Weren't missing? Were you? Yeah. So that's your weapon of choice this week at Worlds, yeah?
It's my weapon of choice. I wouldn't even call it a, you know, I'm a lover, not a fighter. It's not even as much of a weapon as it is just a, it's like a, it feels like a form of gratitude how far paddle technology has come. It's like when I look somebody up with this amp and throw air, it's like, very grateful.
Yeah, I've never heard you so excited about a paddle. So this is nice to hear, James.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. The paddle is
wow. I like it. What cemented it for you?
One of the first times ever, the ball actually went, it entered my paddle. I was standing at the baseline, and off of my paddle, it dropped into the kitchen. Over the net. Other side, the other kitchen, not my kitchen.
Oh, not your own. Okay, that's improvement.
Yeah. And then I was able to actually come forward and engage in that. So that kind of locked it in for me.
Got it. Didn't take much. Just took a drop. Well, it is a lot. Sorry. That felt disrespectful to say it wasn't a lot.
Not everybody has your talent. I'm not here just trying to make it work.
I like it. I'm excited to see what you do with it this week. I think you're going to absolutely crush it. What are you excited about this week, James?
Rob, come on.
I love it. Okay, bye, James. Okay, well, there you go. There you have it. That was random. So,
yes, very random. He said, absolutely fantastic, Robert.
Yeah, it's good timing. Thanks, James. Yeah, that was not intentional. That was really random.
And great recognition by you to instantly let him know that he is on the podcast, because you never quite know what might come out of James's mouth. So that was a smart move.
We got very lucky with him not opening up with something insane. So, you know, very much like our friend Greg Dow, you never quite know what's going to be said, which yes. is fun.
It is fun. It does make it fun.
But dangerous if you don't know you're on a podcast. So dangerous. Here we are.
Yeah, that's
okay, so
impeccable timing.
So what? Okay, we were talking 2 out of 3. You said you agreed, you like it. What else?
I would probably say, okay, so the thing that I would maybe only change is that, so if you are the higher seed, you get to pick all four of the options. The React to Mixed, the React to the Dream Breaker, the side, and also the server return. And what I would do is actually alternate that. So if you're the top seed, you get it the first time, the other team gets it the second, and then if there's a game three, you get it back. And that's not exactly what happened at MLP, is I believe that the top seed got it 2 times in a row, and then the third time for that deciding match, the underdog team, it was just like a regular coin flip, basically.
Got it.
I think that, I mean, that's nitpicking. I thought the format was fantastic, but that was probably the only thing that I saw that maybe I was like, huh, that could change. But otherwise, it was great drama, great adjustments, and really good atmosphere too. So I don't think you can really ask for much more.
So where do we stand now with let's start with Challenger, because that's you guys. Right. Not for long though, right? So start with you guys. Do you guys get to select, or the other, you don't select?
Chicago Slice is the number one seed, so they get to select, and then we get who they don't want. So the options right now are the Miami Pickleball Club, who beat the Frisco Pandas. One match, they beat them in two straight matches. One match did go to a Dream Breaker, though. And then a real battle between the Bouncers and the Las Vegas Night Owls that the Atlanta Bouncers won. So I am going to guess that it's very close, and I think it's the same situation in Premier for who you pick to play, and I think that selection has to happen very soon, in the next day or two. Yeah. I would expect the Slice to pick the Atlanta Bouncers, and then we will play the Miami Pickleball Club. That's my guess. And then in Premier, the Fives will have the option to pick, and they will pick between the Texas Ranchers and Dallas. So I think that is also a very tight one as well. And I could see it going either way. And there's some merits for all of it, really.
Who do you think the Fives will pick?
Oh, goodness gracious. I think the Fives will pick the Dallas Flash, which is Tyra, Augie Gah, and the Johnson siblings. I think a really hot Texas Ranchers with a healthy Christian Alshon, pair him with QD Kwong Duong, Edo Wright, and Tina Pisnik, who played fantastic, and aggressive Tina Pisnik, who really stepped up her speed ups and didn't just fall into that supporting role in the matches, I thought was fantastic. So I'll say very slightly the Dallas Flash. So that would put the Five versus the Dallas Flash. And who I'm blanking on the St. Louis Shock, who would play the Texas Ranchers, and that is some juicy, intriguing matchups right there.
Some firepower for sure.
Yes, it is.
I would agree. I think especially in playoffs, we're talking playoffs now, right? Best out of three still.
Best out of three, same exact format as we just had.
I think you have to I think when you look at the Flash, you have to think about it's a little bit, it's team pickleball. It's love J-Dub to death. I wouldn't say he's like the most fiery, get amp teammate, which I think you kind of need in this situation. So
yeah, I think Georgia is the only player on that team that is like a default, like, can get jacked up player. You'll maybe hear Augie every now and then, but Tyra she's pretty quiet. She lets her play do the talking and doesn't get too fired up. I mean, I think everyone does at some point, except for maybe JW.
And if he is, he doesn't show it.
Yeah, but you just compare that team to like the St. Louis Shock, who are like, full on psychopaths out there.
Just chirping and getting
really jacked up for something very minor. So there's
lots of wouldn't you say that kind of favors the playoff atmosphere, right? Would you say?
Definitely. I think so. I think it's just an extra little edge when you have that. You have that intensity from the sidelines, and you just got, somebody yelling, somebody squealing, somebody doing whatever over there in support of you. You know it's going to be there, and you know exactly what you're going to get from an energy perspective. So I do think that it matters. And also for this tournament, I believe it's the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th in Orlando for these last matches. It could really pick up the amount of play. And what I mean by that is the first day, it's one match for everybody. The second day, you play that second match. If it goes to three, then you could play two matches on that Saturday. And then the finals are on Sunday. So if it goes to three, you could play three straight matches on a Sunday, which would be pretty intense. And especially when
how would you play the three matches on a Sunday?
That's if it goes to three, because the semifinals and the finals are on this tournament. So the semifinals are Friday and Saturday, and then the finals are Sunday. So if it goes two games, you only play two matches. But if you split matches with your opponent for the absolute finals, you will play that third match on that Sunday.
Oh, so sure. Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
So when you're talking about playing three matches and you're talking about how it has extra energy and drains you, I know everyone's in good shape, but that's a lot of high-level play and intense play with a lot on the line in one day. So we'll just have to see how it all plays out. It's going to be a fun weekend, though.
That's super fun. And that you said that is 22nd to 24th?
22nd through the 24th. That's right. So there is a PPA Milwaukee in between the Worlds and that last MLP, and that's the November schedule.
I mean, that's going to be, yeah, that's what we've been looking for, right? Like, that's what we've been like, that's what this whole season's about. You know, you have people complaining early in the year about like, oh, but this, like, you know, this, none of this means anything. And I will say there's merit to some teams playing 12 matches while another team's played three matches on the year. Like, you want to have that kind of pretty level,
pretty close,
you know, throughout the year, just so you can really gauge where everybody's at and keep track of it. But, you know, that aside, like, seeing matches early on in the year, and I always think about like this with baseball, the playoffs and kind of like getting into the wild card. You look at these records and it could be like, whatever, 89 and 70 something. And you're like, then you think back to like May and you're like, man, all of those like one run games we could have won. And like, there's a lot of that, right? It's like you lost a dream breaker and early in the year, and now that's come to bite you in the ass. So like, it all does mean something. I think it's just kind of taken a little while for people to understand, you know, how it all ties together. And I think the November 22nd to 24th is going to be super fun to watch, because this is kind of like the culmination of all of those matches throughout the year where people are kind of shitting on it early in the year.
Yeah, I agree completely. I mean, there's lots of things that, because, I mean, there was a good chance we weren't going to make a top two seed. And so, I mean, I was thinking back of a lot of situations. I mean, we went 1-5 in the first event.
Yeah, start.
And also the Chicago Slice had a very poor first event. They played less matches than we did. But they're the one seed, and they had a very poor. We both had great upgrades in Yana Newell and Megan Fudge. But, I mean, there was just a little match where you lose focus for a second and go to a dream breaker instead of winning regulation. You lose a point there. You do this, you do that. I mean, all this stuff was just a point or two difference between these seeds and where you slot out into the playoffs. So I agree completely that it all counts, man, whether it's 23 matches, and that's what it was, 23 matches in the regular season. Those points are hard to come by, and it is a big deal for those last, you know, week or two of the event or two of the regular season moving into the playoffs.
Yeah. If they took into account Beer City, would you guys have been the first seed?
I think that is probably true. Yes. So
you guys won it, right?
Third. We got third. And actually the Brooklyn Aces won the midseason tournament and didn't even make the playoffs.
Right.
So that's pretty wild. So yes, I'm not exactly sure where Chicago finished, but I know it was the Las Vegas Night Owls that got second. So I believe that we would have. If they would have taken it all into account, that we would have had been the one seed over Chicago, but I'm not 100% on that.
Got it. Yeah. What's your take on that now? Do you think they should have included those results, or did you like kind of the separation of the standalone?
I think it was fine. I think the standalone was cool. And, you know, with it being a tournament and being a little different than the regular season stops, I think lumping it all together, I mean, I'm not going to say it would have been a disaster or a mistake, but I like how it happened.
Cool. Yeah. Nice. Worlds, what do we have?
We got a lot of action, man. So
I mean, it's rolling now, right? It's going.
Yeah. So we're qualifying.
Round 64?
Yeah, qualifying yesterday, round of 64 today. I'm going to have to work on some pronunciations because I got some players on my court today that I have not. You played Etienne. How do you say his last name?
Blaskovic.
Blaskovic. Okay, there you go. Knocked one out right there. So I have him today, and I was actually supposed to be morning session. I'm going to be afternoon. But, I mean, yeah, this is rolling all week. Round of 64. I think there's only one day that it looks like there could be some thunderstorms. But, yeah, these progressive draws, and I think there's 3,500 some odd players here. So it's going to be Yeah, busy. It's gonna.
Is that Brookhaven again?
Yeah, and it's the second year. So this is the first year that it's Worlds. It's kind of titled differently, but of course, when you're using a venue for a tournament that big, I think each year there's going to be some improvements and it's going to be a little bit better. So I'm excited to get up there and kind of roam around, talk to some people, get the vibe of everything, and have a good week.
Is it championship court, grandstand, showcase, same kind of? You know how many you're streaming?
Yeah, I think there's like a grandstand one or two. They sent out a crazy schedule. I think they sent out like a 6-court schedule on social media where they're trying to have it lined up, and you can somewhat, you know, there's some after, you know, it's like, it's not like a not before two situation. They're just kind of running the matches, but you can kind of pick and choose what court, what players you like and watch, which I think is fantastic.
Oh, that's dope.
So I think there's, there's probably like two, championship, 2 grandstand, and then 3 side courts going. So that's great.
And I will say that's important and good, because I believe I saw Connor post or tweet that betting's live again for the PPA. So and it's only, I think it's 11 or 12 states where it's available. And sadly, I don't think Florida's one of them, which is odd because usually Florida is pretty open to betting.
Johnny Goldberg's going to fly somewhere so that he can put some bets 100%.
He's going to pay somebody like in another state to put the bets in for him. Yeah, I think it's Fanatics. Yeah,
like Fanatics or something like that. But that's super cool. And I think you, especially if you're going to have betting on it, you need to have those side courts be an option to watch, because that's what the junkies really want.
They want that,
you know, like, not good for your mental state sweat, so they can watch every single point. You know, James, like he's talking about, bounces a 5th shot in front of the net. They want to curse at him through the TV. You know, like that's what the bettors want. So,
the best is going to be when it gets to, like, you know, like end game and match stuff, where if like this is going to be a side out. No, it's not. They're going to get 1 point on their serve or 0 points. Like, dude. That's what it's going to eventually be, man. It's going to be like, and to be honest, that's pretty fun. Not for me, because I would never bet on my own sport. But
having an adult beverage and yell at the screen. I mean, that's what people want to do.
And then the downside of this, which players I think will find out, is getting hate mail from people that lost based on your performance. So get ready.
The old die in a grease fire, you know, you'll get that from someone.
You and your family. I hope your kids, I hope your kids burn in hell, like all kinds of stuff.
Right. Because you lost $13 because you missed a third shot. People, it's good stuff.
Hey,
are you,
when it comes to,
today? Are you playing some pickle?
I am. I'm going to go practice, go get my drill on, go try to get better at this game, you know?
Yeah. Who you got
To practice with?
Yeah.
So a guy named Jorge down here. We've got a guy named Zach Parks and Cass Hogue, who I'm playing mixed with nationals, lives here. Gotcha. So we're going to,
I don't know Jorge. Some, I know the other two
mixed
though.
Practice. Yeah. Jorge's good. Jorge's a lefty. He's played in a few tournaments, had some pretty solid results. So he's a good player. So,
all right.
For Jacksonville, hey, everywhere's getting, players are getting good everywhere. So it's, which is good for practice.
It is very good for practice. I agree. I've seen that at multiple stops, just maybe not pro level, even though I know a couple of that you are playing with are pro level. Even just that little under grouping where it's worth it to go get some touches with them and play and get the good exercise and the quality points. It's there in a lot of places. It wasn't 2 years ago. So that's fantastic.
Adam, to wrap this up with a tip, this is something I do and haven't done enough. I named this last year in Atlanta at the APP, because it's a strategy I took on, and it worked pretty well. This is when I was moving better. Unfortunately, I feel like now, like, I'm kind of forced to play, and I don't even realize it, because I've adjusted my like with my physical health and my knee and stuff like that. I've subconsciously very much adjusted to having to support it, if that makes sense. Yep. Like, I'm not able to be super free on it and like drive and crash and be like incredibly aggressive and agile and mobile. So I've had to adjust a little bit and slow the game down, which in mix, you have to be a very aggressive player. Like, all of the teams that you see have super success are when you have guys that are very aggressive and can take a lot of court and can put a ton of pressure on the other side. So tip of the day is something I like to call blitzing. And what blitzing means is, let's say I'm serving and mixed. I serve a little bit bigger. Let's say I'm serving to the female. Serve a little bit bigger than I normally would. I get a third shot drive. I drive that third. The volley comes back kind of weak midcourt. I drive that fifth at the female again. Another volley comes. It's like, you know, at the kitchen line. I should probably just hit like a pretty aggressive dink or, you know, ball in the kitchen. But no, you don't. You take a ninth shot, seventh shot, ninth shot, drive at the female, just kind of abbreviated backswing. And this is the blitz. You just put relentless pressure and you attack every single ball to the lady on the other side. And blitzing, I mean, it puts enormous pressure on her and the guy feels like he needs to help out. It opens up some stuff behind the guy. This is blitzing at him. And it's a strategy that's not used enough. Especially for like the guys that are super mobile. Drive again and close and drive again and close and put a volley away.
Okay. The blitz.
Creep. That's the blitz. Okay. So that's what I'm going to do today.
It's basically once you get past this third, fifth, and even if they put a ball that's a little bit lower or not in the perfect situation, you just pull back a little bit on the backswing and you yes. still go with pace instead of just dropping that ball and get into the structured pattern. So, yep. I mean, it's been a while since I've played some mixed doubles at a high level, but hey, let's go, baby. Let's do it.
Go try it. So, everybody out there, go try it.
Yeah. Adjust your swing a little bit. Don't just pull back and feel like, oh, that's a little below my waist. I'm gonna drop this in the kitchen and we'll start yanking.
The closer you move to the net, the shorter your swing needs to be.
Absolutely. Blitz. Do it today.
That's what I'm gonna go do. Okay. Adios. Good luck at Worlds. Have fun, Adam.
All right. We'll have the recap. Till next time. Next week.